So this morning, anyways, we, I'll explain to everybody. So we just finished actually a week of rich feasting. There were a lot of things going on last week. One thing, there was the Chinese speaking perfecting training in Franklin. I was just wondering how many of us attended that. Is there anybody here? Okay, one. Just no, the week-long training. Okay, so that's one thing. And then there was a weekend conference here in Piscataway. How many of us attended that? There's a few, right? And then there was a week-long college training down in Georgia. How many of us went to that? So, yeah. So anyway, I think, and, you know, there's something that we, so how many of us got into this?
Amen.
So, you know, we all got into something, right? And hopefully this morning we could enjoy the riches. I think we're trying to have everyone overflow from one of these many feasts. I think maybe John is going to, are you starting off?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think the feeling is we just wanted to share the overall burden from the weekend conference.
So. Yeah. Amen. So we're going to have a little different, you know, not a typical, just go from the morning revival devotional book, but we can all share our enjoyment from whatever we did in the last week.
Amen.
So even Evan, if you had anything you enjoyed, I know you were reading a book, so Evan can share something. He's reading some Christian book, so he can share something too. So whatever you've been enjoying,
that's
in the Bible, Christian reading, whatever, you can share and enjoy. But so I think what I'll do is I'm just going to cover a little bit on what English speaking conference that we had last weekend, and then Scott will, and then maybe Brother Kyle too, and then Scott will give a little opening, and then his brothers can all share a little bit from the college training that they enjoyed. So the English speaking conference. The title of the conference was The Dream of God, the Eternal Bethel. I think it was really, really enjoyable, especially for a lot of the surrounding churches that came together. It was, after the time, they were so happy. They're asking, when are we going to do this again? And, you know, that some brothers, you know, they really want to fellowship and maybe do one in another 6 months. You know, don't wait a whole year. But it's real encouragement for all the saints, especially on the non-Chinese speaking side to be strengthened.
Yes.
In the surrounding churches.
Yeah.
So I'll just read all the titles of all the messages. Just the titles themselves are very rich. So the first message was The Dream of God, the Eternal Bethel.
Amen.
The second message and the third message, which was combined into one, Building Up Vital Relationship with God and Man for the Carrying Out of God's Eternal Economy.
Amen.
The third message was The Life Pulse in the Practice of the God-Ordained Way, the Holmes. And the last message, Being Perfected to Become Pillars for the Spread of the Lord's Recovery. So the first message, you know, really set the tone and kind of the whole conference was really off this first message. Because if you don't see this vision that the Lord has shown to us and has actually revealed to Jacob, you're kind of, everything else doesn't really fit in, but everything is, there's a good foundation here. So some of you that might not be familiar, I'm just going to read a few verses here. So Genesis 28:12, it says, And he dreamed, and there was a ladder set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there the angels of God were ascending and descending upon it. And Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, Surely Jehovah is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, How awesome is this place? I really like that sentence. How awesome. It has an exclamation point at the end as well. So we can, when we read it, how awesome is this place?
Amen.
This is none other than the house of God.
Amen.
This is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and he set it up as a pillar and poured oil up on it, on top of it, sorry. And he called the name that place Bethel.
Amen.
So we can see that really Jacob's dream is actually our dream, right? We covered this also a little bit in the summer training some of you attended. And so this dream, what is this dream? This is God's dream, right?
Amen.
God's dream is the dream of his eternal purpose to have the reality of Bethel, the house of God, the mutual dwelling place of God and man. In this universe, God is doing only one thing. He is building his eternal habitation for his eternal expression.
Amen.
So in these messages, we really saw that we need to enter into this dream, right?
Amen.
We need to enter into this vision.
Amen.
You know, the Lord revealed this to Jacob for a purpose. He revealed this to man that we would enter into this.
Amen.
So how this is accomplished is God gets into man. And how is this accomplished? So there's this great ladder, right, that we saw in Genesis 28. There's this ladder where the angels, right, are ascending and descending.
Amen.
And practically, where is that today? Today, that's our spirit, right?
Amen.
So the Christ as the ladder is now able to dispense himself into man. But it's not just one-way traffic, something also I enjoy. It's actually, it's a two-way traffic. God is getting into man, and man is getting into God.
Amen.
So there's this mingling going on, actually.
Amen.
So, in the first message, I just want to read one Roman numeral. When we see this glorious heavenly vision, we are revolutionized. Our entire being is changed in its concept, attitude, conversation, and thought, and we become thoroughly different. The vision will cause us to be beside ourselves, and our lifestyle will be changed. So, you know, a lot of people say they have visions, and, you know, there's all kinds of crazy things that people say, right? But actually, a true vision from God is something that will actually change us. What's on God's heart? A lot of times, you know, man has vision, but it's only about ourselves. You know, we have a vision, it's all about me, 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 me. But actually, if it's a vision from God, you'll realize it's something God is revealing to himself. It's his heart.
Amen.
So if we have a vision, we should check. Is it something just about me? Or is it actually something about God's economy? Is this vision something that is related to God?
Amen.
So that's something I enjoyed from that first message.
Amen.
Then the second message was the building up the vital relationships with God and man for the carrying out of God's eternal economy, right?
Amen.
In this message, we really focused on these four ships. The four shifts are friendship. So that's our first one, right? You gotta have friends.
If
you're not personable and you just like to be a hermit, then it's not very beneficial, right? Actually, in the very early church history, you know, there's one gentleman. He was a brother, and he was a hermit, and he realized, you know, he sat on a pole for like years, and people would feed him, right? But then he just sat there for, like, you know, being pious and holy. And finally, the Lord, you know, he opened himself to the Lord, and he realized this is not beneficial to, you know. And then he actually became a great gospel preacher after, because he realized being a hermit and being pious and holy all for yourself is not really what the Lord wants.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to be friends, right? We need to befriend others, our workmates, our family members, our schoolmates. You know, there's tons of people that we have in contact every day. So, but it'd be sad if they just stayed our friends. They actually need to progress, and they need to become our brothers.
Amen.
So this needs to build into a relationship. So a friendship to a relationship, which would hopefully, you know, these friends would turn brothers, right? We would share the gospel with them.
Amen.
And they would get saved.
Amen.
And then from there, they wouldn't just be... They wouldn't just say, "Oh, they're just a brother," but actually, there would be a partnership. You know, we would be a partner with them. We would go out with them and be like, "Hey, maybe they have a burden for their aunt. You two can pray together and pray for this aunt, and you can share the gospel for this aunt. So you build a partnership and you go out together." And now you can go into others' homes, right?
Amen.
And then it goes on to discipleship,
exactly.
Right? So now discipleship is that, you know, we would We would go therefore, right, in the verse Matthew 28:19, go therefore and disciple all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So this is even a furtherance, right? We would reproduce ourselves in these people, right? Into our friends, into our partner, right? A partnership is something combined, right? You share the common goal and common interest. But also, discipleship means that you actually no longer are even so worried that you need to be with them all the time. Actually, to make someone a disciple is you now hand them the burden. You now hand them over the commission. Hey, I commission you to go preach the gospel in this area, right? So you no longer have to, like, follow them, right? At first, when you're becoming a part of someone, you have to, like, kind of be with them, make sure they don't mess up, and kind of help them, guide them. But finally, the last step, right, in discipleship, you really just let them take over, in a sense, and not have to worry about, like, oh, are they going to mess it up, this or that, right? We would really just let the reins loose, right? And they would produce, and they would hopefully go through this whole process themselves. Then we get to the third message, the life pulse and the practice of the God-ordained way, the homes. And this one I really enjoyed because that's what I shared on. And I felt like this one I really enjoyed because this is really where the ground meets, or what's the tire meets the road, right? This is where all the practical things happen and are in the homes. If we want to build this friendship, brothership, partnership, discipleship, it all happens in the homes. If you don't have homes, if you don't bring people in your homes, this is not really going to be easily accomplished. So it all, we just talked a lot about opening our homes, what our homes are for. It's actually one of the brothers, Brother Livingstone, he said it's a depot, like a Home Depot, right? There's all this stuff in it.
Yeah.
It's a depot of the gospel, the depot of the truth, the depot of life, and the depot of the church life. So the homes is really, they're crucial aspects in the church life.
Amen.
And the last message, and then I'll, with these brothers talking along, was being perfected to become pillars for the spread of the Lord's recovery. And, you know, pillars are very important for a building, right? Especially in the ancient times, right? You have these big columns, these big pillars that hold the building up. And if you take one pillar out, boom, building's gone. It collapses, right? So it's really important in the church life, you know, there would be certain brothers that would be strong pillars.
Amen.
You know, these brothers would rise up, take responsibility, and actually, if they were true pillar, they would want to produce other pillars. You know,
amen.
Wouldn't just be like, oh, I'm a great, strong, spiritual brother, you know. The Lord doesn't want that. Actually, He wants you just to be a normal, functioning member in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But inwardly, you are a pillar.
Amen.
And your desire would be to produce other pillars in some younger brothers, you know, some college students, right? You brothers, you need to rise up.
Amen.
You got to become pillars.
Amen.
You know, soon Shepherd and I, you know, Shepherd might move to Europe or Israel or something, I don't know. I don't know where I might be somewhere. And you guys will still be here. You guys are going to have to rise up. You guys are going to be you guys are the future, right, of the church life here.
That's
so
right.
You brothers need to rise up and realize that you brothers are going to become pillars. And so this is something very important. If we want the Lord's move and His spread to, you know, to be rapid, we actually need brothers to rise up and become pillars in the churches. So this is a kind of an overall burden from the English Dean Conference.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, well, I guess I'll share first. So in the recent college training, the topic was the humanity of Jesus. And just I was kind of reminded, even in the, I guess in the tabernacle, you have the standing boards that are made of acacia wood, and they're overlaid with gold. So even that, you see, for the building, you need a proper humanity. But that was really, I was just mentioning. But coming to the humanity of Jesus, the first thing that was covered was that you see the meal offering in Leviticus in the Old Testament is a type of the humanity of Jesus. So all the different offerings, you know, the burnt offering, meal offering, peace offering, trespass offering, sin offering, these all signify Christ.
Amen.
And so we, you know, the reality of these offerings is Christ, and so they're being offered back to God. And so the meal offering typifies Christ and his human living. And so there's several components of the meal offering. You have this fine flour.
Okay.
It's roughly, it's very, very, it's not coarse, it's not rough, it's very fine, like finer than grains of sand. It's been processed, it's been smashed. And then there's oil. Actually, the fine flour is the base of the meal offering. And so then there's also oil, which is, you know, a type of the Spirit.
Amen.
So that's the divine element. It's mingled and it's anointed into the offering.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's frankincense. And so frankincense, when you burn it, there's a certain fragrance. And so that's, you know, the aroma of Christ in his resurrection.
Amen.
And so then the last ingredient in the meal offering is salt. And so salt, you know, there's verses in the New Testament, you're the salt of the world. Also, it signifies the death, you know, the cross of Christ. This killing element, this preserving element, this preserving element.
Amen.
Actually, there were two things that are not in the meal offering. One is leaven, and so that signifies sin or like negative things. So obviously, you know, in the Lord there was no leaven. And then there's also no honey, which means there's no natural affection.
Mm-hmm.
And so even the Lord was one who, you know, there were a couple of instances. You know, one was when his father or his mother and brother were seeking him, you know, and they said,